A man and a duck. Doesn't sound like a promising program concept, does it? What about a man, a duck, and a quiz show with almost embarrassingly cheap cash prizes? Still not intrigued? Did we mention that the man with the duck asking questions is Groucho Marx?
It's Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life. The only...
For 14 years, through the 1950s and early 60s, Groucho Marx presided over a weekly radio and then television show in which people from around the country competed for no more money than the price of dinner for four at the Brown Derby restaurant. The real payoff was a chance to be a comic foil for the man who was considered the greatest ad-libber in show business. Robert Bader is co-producer of a new DVD compilation called You Bet Your Life, The Best Episodes. He joins us from our studios in New York City. Mr. Bader, thanks very much for being with us.
Pleasure. Thank you for letting me be here.
And I should say, I'm trying to do this interview with a pair of Groucho glasses on.
You look terrific.
Thank you. You can't see me. Actually, there was a 40-page script attached to each episode, wasn't there?
Yes, but that was a very well-kept secret, or for as long as they could keep it a secret.
Because they thought it would spell the mystery?
Well, they like to have the program be thought of as completely ad-lib, but line for line, the show wasn't scripted. There was just a framework for which he could, from which he could work.
Mm-hmm. The framework was ostensibly people would come on, he'd talk to them, there'd be a period of 3 or 4 minutes where there was a duck that came. As I explained this, I realize people who haven't seen the program are scratching their heads saying, and this was popular. A little duck that looked more than vaguely like Groucho came down from the rafters with a magic word on it. If during that conversation somebody uttered that word, they would get $50.
You said the secret word, which is street, so you and your partner win $101.
When the show was on radio, obviously no duck was dropping down. They had a loud alarm bell, or the orchestra would play a fanfare. Mm-hmm. And when they brought it to television, they tried to add some visual elements to it, and the duck was one of the visual elements.
There was a mix of citizens and celebrities, but we're not talking about, let's say, Jane Mansfield and Rock Hudson. A different order of celebrities.
Generally, he just looked for ordinary people to just sit and chat with. But young performers were interesting to them, someone who might have a future in show business. In our new set, we have Phyllis Diller's first national television appearance. Mm-hmm. And she was just a housewife who was becoming a nightclub comic.
Now, Phyllis, what do you do to break up the monotony of housekeeping and taking care of five small gorillas?
Well, I'm really not a housewife anymore. I'm an entertainer.
Could you do a little of your act now?
I'd love to.
Say 30 or 40 minutes?
I decided I'd surely better be well-adjusted before I went into such a shaky business, and so I decided I should be analyzed, and I went to this analyst. He's helped me a great deal. In fact, I am so much better now that I get to sit up.
There is a story about a man who goes on You Bet Your Life, has, what was it, 11 or 12 children? You've heard this story over and over again, I'm sure.
This is the most commonly asked question about You Bet Your Life. A married couple from Bakersfield, California, came on You Bet Your Life, and they were the parents of 20 children. And although the show was recorded and edited for radio, people to this day believe they heard or saw this exchange on television, which actually happened in the studio and was edited out. Hmm. But the exchange was something to the effect of, why do you have so many children? That's a big responsibility and a big burden. And the wife says, well, because I love my husband, and I think that it's our purpose here on earth, and I love my husband. And Groucho says, well, I love my cigar too, but I take it out of my mouth once in a while.
I would have told you I couldn't laugh at that anymore.
I feel guilty accepting such a good laugh for his joke, but the truth of the matter is the recording doesn't survive. But what we do have is actually an excerpt from the interview with that couple on the record.
Mrs. Story, how many times have you been a mother?
20 times.
Is this really true? 20 children, Marion?
That is true, 20.
That's just what she said. Apparently nothing's happened in the last few seconds anyway. Tell me, when you see a lot of kids around your house, how do you know if they're all yours?
Well, I remember faces.
Well, tell me, Pop,
pop. That's the understatement of the year. Paul Bunyan. If you can't remember all the names, how do you know who to call when you want something?
Well, if I want one of the boys, I just say, son.
Aren't you afraid of getting trampled in the rush?
He was known as a terrific straight man. Sometimes it was just a look. He would do the little thing with his eyebrows or just puff on his cigar for a second and just draw out the laugh.
I wanted to ask you about a 1955 episode. A French guy who moved to the United States in the 20s, selling perfume there in Hollywood, Edouard Cornand. And his partner in the contest is Tiny Broadwick.
How much do you charge for a gallon of this stuff? Or can you buy it on draft?
No, you can't buy it on draft, but up to $500 for 32 ounces.
Oh, well, are there really any husbands who are willing to shell out $500 for a bottle of perfume for their wives?
Not for their wife.
Well, you don't have to explain it, monsieur. I've been around.
Now, Mr. Bader, can you tell just by listening, or is there any archival evidence that would suggest how much of that was set up and how much was...
There's actually quite a bit of archival evidence because we do have access to the preparation materials and, of course, some of the outtakes, in fact. And you just know the stuff they had to cut out of the show wasn't scripted. And in that particular exchange with Mr. Cornand, there is indeed an outtake on our set. And it's very easy to see when something just crosses his mind and he knows it can't be used, but he goes and does it anyway. Mm-hmm. And usually when they have an outtake like that, you'll see Groucho at the end of the outtake look right into the camera and say something like, that's what's known as a waste of film.
Well, I gathered that some of his producers had the idea that to get his performer's juices going, you had to let him be occasionally profane, even if it was, as he put it, a waste of film.
Yeah, it's true that he just had to be left to do whatever he needed to do, and doing it live would have been probably a disaster because he would have either restrained himself to the point where he wasn't Groucho, or he would have been Groucho and gotten kicked off the air.
Well, let's listen to a couple of outtakes.
What kind of modeling have you done, Grace?
Well, I used to model stockings in Cuba, and I've modeled coats.
Do you wear stockings in Cuba?
No, but I just modeled them.
No. Just thought they wore coconuts down there and frozen daiquiris.
I
had a frozen daiquiri once when I was up north. Last time I go out without long underwear. Well, now, suppose you became a famous actress and then you met somebody you liked and got married. Would you be willing to quit acting and be a housewife and a mother?
Well, I think if you keep your feet on the ground, you can combine both. That's what I would like to do.
Well, if you keep your feet on the ground, you'll never be a mother.
Well, as you mentioned now, we can play them, and they're just funny. We don't have to apologize for a lapse of taste.
And thankfully, these were saved, and they're just wonderful. He was probably as proud of the You Bet Your Life show as anything he ever did, and he did everything in his career. He really was in every area of show business. He was even a writer and a playwright, and he just thought You Bet Your Life was simply the best stuff he ever did. It's why he did it for 14 years.
Well, Mr. Bader, thanks very much for being with us. Did Mr. Bader say our secret word?
Do I get $100?
Thanks so much, Mr. Bader.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Robert Bader is co-producer of the new compilation, You Bet Your Life, The Best Episodes, speaking with us from New York. And to hear more excerpts from You Bet Your Life, you can go to our website, npr.org.